This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, City Limits, the show is now yours. I'll tell people that shortly enough, we're coming upon the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Yes, indeed, it's time for Bechtold's Breakdown.
Here we go for Friday, December 20th, 24. Let's do it. The NFL is going head-to-head with college football. The playoff tomorrow. So three games, including Penn State SMU, the Tennessee game being played at Ohio State, and Clemson at Texas, with the NFL having Chiefs, Texans at 1, and Steelers, Ravens at 4:30. I personally am starting to get very frustrated with the NFL because Saturdays, especially with the brand new college football, should be for college football, just like how Christmas Day should be for the NBA.
Hold
it seems like the NFL
here.
Is just stepping on everybody's toes.
Oh, come on, Limits.
Because it's the NFL,
I'm tired
baby.
Of seeing all the NFL during these other sports.
What does it matter?
I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it.
Are you a millennial?
No, I think I'm like Gen Z.
You're a Gen Z. You don't have devices at home? You can't have the college game on your television and the pro game on your laptop?
How about Sundays are for the NFL and Saturdays are for college
football
games, and we'll leave it at that. More football, the better.
This guy's more cynical than Ron.
So you'd
he takes Ron's take on all these things.
Okay, so you'd
only
rather
want to
whatever.
One football game at a time. I can't figure out this laptop, this snap.
Okay, all right. So you would much rather watch the Steelers and Ravens or whatever game you want to watch.
Limits. You can watch two at once.
Can I make my point, please?
Yes.
You would rather watch the two games at once than be able to watch like the Chiefs and Texans good game on a Sunday at 1 o'clock and watch all the college football games and not go back and forth, having to flip the channel or two different TVs. No, I don't want that.
An idiot like me doesn't need everything to be segmented like there's a game at 1 p.m., I will not watch another game until that game finishes, and it must be at 4 p.m. on network television. Every night, Limits. Last night, I had the hockey game on my phone and the volleyball on the TV. What is happening here,
Donnie? I don't like it. Donnie, thoughts?
No, I think tomorrow is going to be one of the greatest football days of all time, and especially if you are able to get in front of a couple of devices. Sarah and I will be at a Christmas party tomorrow, and given when the Pitt Hoops game is tomorrow, the Steelers pregame is earlier, so we have like an early morning Steelers pregame for a 4 o'clock game. It's working out pretty perfectly for me because we're going to get to this Christmas party a little bit after 12, so Penn State will just be getting underway, and one of the people there, a massive Penn State fan, Kyle, if you're listening, we already know what the setup's going to be. Big TV in his basement. Will be SMU and Penn State at noon.
Yes.
Texans and Chiefs will be on the like corner bar TV that
yes,
they have in their basement.
Donnie, now you're talking.
And then we'll flip it at 4 o'clock. We'll have college game in the corner. We'll have Steeler game on the big one. I can't wait for it. Now I think there's an underlying factor here, Joe.
With Limits?
Are you not attending the Penn State game tomorrow?
No, I am attending the Penn State game tomorrow.
So that's your problem.
So there it is. Because
Joe is getting really feisty with me in my segment. How about that?
Because by the time he gets out of there and maybe gets to his car or gets in his car, he's going to at best be able to watch like a quarter of the Steeler game.
Well, no, I'm not driving. That's untrue. I'm not driving home. We're going to watch the game somewhere. Like after the Penn State game is over, we're going to go watch it somewhere. But I don't like this. I don't. My opinion is not going to be shifted.
So even if you were not going to the game and you were at home and you could lay out a two TV setup, you wouldn't like it.
No, because I want to keep my focus on the one game.
Well, wait a minute. Then what do you do during March Madness?
Yeah, well, that I have like multiple different TVs, but that's a completely different story in my mind because that's March Madness.
Oh,
when it's been for 100 years.
What has happened
March
to this
Madness,
guy?
March Madness, like those first 2 days are like two of the best days.
Yeah, I bring
the
out like
calendar.
Three different TVs for that. But I would much rather not do that for the college football playoff in the NFL. And that's just my opinion. I don't have to like it.
Greatest football days in history, as Donnie said. Plus, here's the other thing that happens all the time is multiple games between the two NFL games and the four college games. At least two of those are going to be blowouts that you're going to lose interest in. What better if, let's say, Penn State SMU is a total blowout? Okay. I'll just go to Chiefs-Texans, yeah. Donnie. Plus, after the Steelers game, there's two more college games. So this is only a problem for, well, let me see here. What time is Notre Dame?
Notre Dame's tonight.
So which games are the conflicts tomorrow?
So it's the two early ones for college football tomorrow. SMU and Penn State is at noon.
Yeah.
Texans and Chiefs is at 1.
Okay.
4 p.m. is Clemson and Texas.
Yeah.
And then 4:30 is Steelers-Ravens.
That's all we're talking about? And there's not a night game?
There is a college night game. It's Tennessee and Ohio State.
There you go.
Tomorrow night. I think the Pop-Tart Bowl is tomorrow afternoon as well. We could have a trio
of
great games.
TV in there. I'm flabbergasted by Limit's take here. I really am. I'm just blown away by this, Donnie.
Texter Bechtold, can you please wear those hideous LeBron shoes to the game? Penn State will definitely lose. They're black and purple shoes. How are they hideous? They're black shoes.
I love them.
Unless they're talking about the green shoes, which, I mean, you can love them or hate them.
In a strange kind of way, I admire you. You're an old sports soul,
yep.
Even though, what are you, 23?
And I don't deny it, and I won't apologize for it.
You're a baseball purist.
Yep.
You're a don't play the NFL on different days guy. I respect that, although I vehemently disagree.
I would much rather, because I love college football on Saturdays, especially just being, I mean, it's the brand new playoff. I want to focus all my attention on that.
I'm just going to bask. It's going to be like those people you see in a tub of money where there's just dollar bills and they throw them up in the air. I'm going to bask in all the football tomorrow. I'm not going to do a damn thing. I'm going to order pizza. I'm going to drink Diet Coke till I'm numb. And every time I turn around, there's going to be a football game. And if one of them sucks, the beautiful thing is I turn to the other and another and another and another and another, Donnie, until I pass out at about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of the best football days that we've ever gotten to experience. I mean, yeah, and some of the games could suck. Like, I could see, really, especially those first two college games, they could be blowouts.
Yeah.
So, Joe, you're a big NBA guy. What do you say about the NBA? Usually the NBA on Christmas Day is the tradition. The NFL has taken that over as well.
Again, and I'm astounded that I have to delineate this for you, I have multiple devices in my house, and oftentimes, I'll give you an example, even Steelers games, I was watching Golden State, was it Minnesota? And really, when you're watching two sporting events, there's often times where you can focus on just one.
Commercials,
halftime, end of the period. Is this guy 23 or 83?
Does he have a phone?
You put the phone up, or better your laptop. You have one game on there, Warriors Nuggets on Christmas Day, and then on the big TV, I have whatever NFL game I want to watch, and my attention span goes from one to the other, and I'm in sports heaven. I'm in sports heaven, Donnie. It sounds like he's in sports Hades. Like, he doesn't like that.
So now that strikes me to another question here, Austin. On Sundays, specifically, when it's not the Steelers,
yeah.
Do you, like, watch a red zone stream or anything? Or do you not like the red zone? You don't like how that works because they're jumping from game to game?
I'll jump back and forth between the CBS game and the whatever the Fox game is.
So if you have a big Penguin,
I love the red zone.
I don't have red zone.
A big Penguin Sunday night game.
Yeah.
And there's also an NFL game. Do you have like a nervous breakdown over that? Or what happens?
Sometimes I'll watch the Penguin game, and then during your intermission, I'll throw the NFL game on and follow it along on my phone.
Thank you, City.
A lot of the tweeters and the texters are agreeing with me, surprisingly to you, I guess, Joe. Somebody else says, I don't have much use for the NBA, quoting Ron Cook.
Yeah, Ron Cook quote.
Yeah, you like that?
I'm shocked that people we're looking at an all. Why do you always say to me? Why don't you say that to Donnie?
Because you were in staunch disagreement with this idea.
And
my
Donnie's
point.
Not?
Well, I think Donnie's not as staunch in the disagreement.
I am laughing that there's a couple of Ron Cook quotes in here.
Yeah.
Friday nights are for high school football.
This is football nirvana. What the hell is going on here, Donnie?
I mean, I'm going to be in heaven around like 12:30 tomorrow.
And I'll be in hell if Penn State loses to SMU. And then I have to watch the Steelers lose to Baltimore. I'll be like, driving back tomorrow night.
And then you still get Tennessee, Ohio State. Give me more. I wish there were high school games on tomorrow.
Oh, give me a break. All right, next item, that took 15 minutes.
Somebody named Dan Eaton, actually. The numbers game is my favorite segment. Ryan Crosby, always love a good Football Friday numbers game. Donnie, this thing is taking off nationally.
Yeah, it is. I know Ryan Crosby. He's a Greensburg guy. He's also a Penn Stater.
There we
related
go.
Related to Sid?
He is not related to Sid.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Somebody else says, Limits is singularly focused with an exclamation point. Yeah, I do. I like to keep my focus on a couple of different things. All right, let's focus on the Penguins. How about the win last night against Nashville? 5-4 beating the Predators. They've won two games in a row in overtime. Don't look now. They're fourth in the Metro points-wise, and just a couple points out of a playoff spot, Joe. What do you make of just the run the Penguins are on right now, and can it be sustainable?
I think it's fascinating. And if I were a diehard Penguins fan, I'd be very confused right now. Like, I thought they were going to the bottom, and then you want them to go to the bottom because you figure that's where they need to be to rise again. But then a little magic happens, and they're fun to watch right now. That's what I make of it. That game was dramatic last night. Carlson with the bloody lip or whatever he had there, blood on his face, and then he scores the goal. There was Sidney getting pissed off after he scored a goal, going after people. There was Brian Rust scoring the winner. It was just a comeback. It was fun. It was almost like a playoff game. They seem to have a spark, and I maintain that that spark was lit the night they lost to the Utah Hockey Club, and it ruined Sid's 600th goal. And all those guys, as I mentioned earlier, looked at their captain, and I'm not even sure if he was angry as much as disappointed that night. And we all know, Donnie, that when Dad is disappointed, oh, it hurts way more than when Dad is angry. And I think they somehow, some way, responded to that night out of shame.
Yeah, something worked there in a big way, because you referenced when it happened. After that, they won four straight games. They have won the last two in overtime. They've been in overtime in the last three games. So 5 points in a three-game stretch, pretty good. They beat Montreal with 9 goals before that. And they are into a point, again, it's a long season, which makes this nice, because they are able to rebound after what was a pretty slow start. Like I said earlier, there was argument to be made at some of the early stages of the season, point or goal differential. You know, they were barely ahead of like the cellar dwellers of the league in points. The argument could have been made, are they the worst team in hockey? And they've risen up a little bit.
Well, now the question, Limits, might be this. If you're the guy running the team, which I guess is Kyle Dubas, are you still wed to the bigger picture? Are you still trading, you know, when Marcus Pettersson comes back? Are you still trading him if that was the plan? If the plan was to get rid of Rickard Rakell, are you still adhering to the bigger picture? Or are you getting caught up in what appears to be a nice little fun and maybe magical run? Which is it?
Yeah, I think right now you're getting caught up. You're getting caught up in the moment. You're getting caught up in some nostalgia of what was. And, I mean, I still think they should trade off some pieces, but if this continues and they end up being like second, third in the Metro by the time we get to the deadline, you can't move pieces at that point. You got to go.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, up next. Today is the 2-year anniversary, guys, of Franco Harris's passing, which was stunning, surprising to everyone just a couple of days before his number 32 was retired. Joe, you were fortunate enough to be able to get a chance to see him play live. Donnie and I, unfortunately, obviously didn't get the chance to. What was your favorite memory of him as a player, as a person, any interactions you've had?
Yeah, we had some interactions. I didn't know Franco well, but we had some interactions. But it was more, you know, the timing of his passing was just so, what's the word? Tragic, yes, but in a way. Who did I have on a couple weeks ago? It was a Steeler observer from back then, a player, and now I can't remember, who said, you know, in a way it was, because it was the week that he was getting honored, right?
It felt surreal to me.
Surreal, and in a way there was some beauty to that week being the week that we were celebrating Franco anyway, but just the tragic suddenness of it, I'll never forget. I'll never forget waking up that morning and seeing the news and coming in here and doing the show with Ron, who had just interviewed Franco. And then the beautiful part of it was the way that the tributes came pouring in that day and the next day from former teammates, from random people, from people who were, you know, worked with Franco, who were like, I had to take a separate car when we do an event together because Franco would always stay at these things until the last second to talk to every person who wanted to talk, give every autograph, whatever it was. It was Jim Rooney who was in here with me, my friend Jim Rooney.
Oh, yeah, on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Dan's son was in here talking about that. And we talked about the anniversary, which was coming up. And I'll never forget it. I can tell you that. I will never forget that day. It's just one of those moments in time that we all experience where you see something break on the internet or you get a phone call and life is a little different.
That was also one of the like key triggers or starting points for me where, like, you know, there have been so many legendary Steelers of yesteryear from the 70s, you know, from those great Super Bowl teams.
Yeah.
And that tells me, I mean, even a guy with Franco, who is seemingly still in very good health. I mean, he was doing a bunch of activities up until his passing. He was going to be honored that weekend. If they want to retire more numbers in the future, they can't wait around on it the way that they do, because you never know when some of these guys are going to pass.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have to retire everybody. I'm not saying be the New York Yankees or something, but that was at least a moment for me where, like, you know, maybe they could have done this sooner. You know, maybe they could get the ball rolling on Terry Bradshaw because we know he's not in great health, or, you know, any other guys. I mean, just the age that they're at, if they want to do this in the future, like, don't wait so
long.
Don't
wait, yeah,
on it. But I mean, it was also, in a way, the way that that game went, the way that everything was with it, one of the coldest games in stadium history. I went to that game, Joe. Well below zero with the wind chill.
A comeback win,
yeah,
man.
And, you know, one of Kenny Pickett's finest moments
it
with
was.
The Steelers. We know he didn't have many, but one of the core moments of that brief era of Steelers football, you know, they're wearing the block numbers to, you know, as a bit of an honor.
Did Pickens have the winning touchdown?
Yeah, it was Pickens across the middle.
I mean, that to me is the most memorable Kenny Pickett moment. I know he beat the Ravens, but that to me, because of that week and that night, again, the game itself too is a memory, right?
Yeah. Like the way that that game went, it was like a really cool tribute in and of itself.
To
Franco Harris.
Very well said. And as far as the running style, running ability, not many like him. I would say that limits. And I would say he still has an argument for the greatest big game runner of all time.
Yeah.
And there was a great Football Life on Franco where he talked about taking pride in and patterning himself after many different backs to where he could run you over. He was big enough to do that. He was an unbelievable cutback runner, very smooth. He could juke you in a number of ways. He can come out of the backfield and catch the ball. You won't find a handful better all-around running backs who ever played, and he doesn't get talked about, I don't think, enough for that when we talk about the greatest running backs ever, because on a given day, we're playing the Super Bowl tomorrow. We're playing a game to save the planet tomorrow. Yeah, there's Barry Sanders and Jim Brown and Walter Payton. If I wind up with Franco Harris in that game, I'm pretty happy and feel like I have a good chance to win.
When I was like 12, 13, my dad always, he's in a bowling league. He still is. We'd always go, and I would go with him, and we'd go to the arcade. And in the arcade, there was the prize, just the crown jewel of the arcade was this Franco Harris jersey for 9,000 tickets. You could probably buy the thing for like $150 anywhere, but young 13-year-old Austin knew no better. So I took 2 to 3 years, collected all 9,000 tickets. The jersey was still there in the arcade.
Wow.
And used years upon years of my dad's $1 bills to win this 9,000 ticket jersey, and was trying to get Franco to sign it before he died. Unfortunately, that did not end up happening. But when they had the closed casket viewing at Acrisure Stadium, my dad and I went down and I wore it to that, and we got
wow.
to talk to his family. So
you got to talk to the family?
We got to talk to his wife and son, Doc, yeah.
That is an incredible
story, man. The line
was
out the door, and it was snowing, And they had an ice sculpture with his number in it right by the spot where he caught the immaculate reception. So it was a really touching day.
Should we finish with that, or do you have one more?
We could finish with that.
Yeah, I think we should. That seems appropriate. That's a hell of a story, Donnie.
Yeah, it is. I didn't know that, Limits. That's cool.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite Steelers stories I have.
Man, well, the Steelers get to write another one this weekend if they can go into Baltimore and clinch a division. When have they done that? When have they actually clinched the division there on that day?
Well, 2008 they did it. The game where
That's the night they clinched it, had the broken nose?
No, that was the game where Ben found Holmes.
Oh, Holmes at the controversial goal line. Yeah,
they won the division that day.
Yeah. This is a moment. It's a regular season moment, but a moment nonetheless, and the only one we're living in. So it's something really to enjoy and get geared up for here. Even if you're maybe a little distracted by a college football game at that point, Donnie, I think we're all going to be focused on the Steelers, right?
There's also a little bit of news there. Deshaun Elliott downgraded to out.
Ooh, not good news. He's having a hell of a year.
Yeah, he is.